the Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journals, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible Girl too. Welcome to the podcast. Today is the last part in our series that we've been doing on Bible study and getting into God's Word and getting God's Word into you. Today we're going to kind of wrap it up by talking a little bit about how you craft a quiet time, kind of what that entails, and then we're going to talk a little bit about setting up a quiet time notebook, which I know it has been a big blessing to many people over the years to have something very tangible. And for those of you that enjoy journaling and writing things, I think you're going to love that part of today's podcast. The first thing that I want to talk about is we've been talking about Bible study, we've been talking about scripture meditation, talking about writing down what God is teaching you. Today we're going to put it together, and I'm going to give you three things that will help you stick to a quiet time. There's nothing else, I think, that plagues Christians and gives them guilt that's more universal then I need to spend more time in God's Word. I haven't been very good lately about my quiet time. Or people will say to me, I haven't read the Bible much lately and I feel terrible about that, but I've just been so busy and I don't know how to make it work. And I know God's really disappointed. And I get that from so many people that I talk to over my years in women's ministry. And I want to start out by saying that there's a lot of grace for you. God does not, he's not a demanding God. He doesn't ask us to walk around feeling this overwhelming guilt and shame because we haven't kept up to a certain set of guidelines that in many cases are self-imposed. God is willing to offer us grace. He wants to meet with you because he loves you and because he wants to spend time with you and because he knows that God's word and the process of praying through the scriptures and studying the scriptures and talking with God is what will ultimately transform you into Jesus. And so he wants that time with you. But I don't think that we need to treat it as such of a shame or guilt-inducing thing, because then it makes it another task and one more thing we're doing to keep someone happy. And God loves you just as much today, whether you've had a chance to read your Bible or not. God, his love for you doesn't change regardless of how you perform for him. And he is perfectly pleased with you as his child, regardless of the things that you did or didn't do this morning. So we need to start from there, from a place of grace, and understand that some days are going to be crazy and sometimes life is going to slip out of our control. But there are some things we can do that will help us be a little more deliberate and intentional when it comes to spending time with God. And I have three that have been a particular help to me, and I'm going to talk to you about them right now. And that's kind of how we're going to spend some of our time today, is just these three tips that I have for being consistent and being more faithful in my quiet time. Once I got a handle on these three things, it became much easier for me to get it to a place where I was looking forward to it and I was being blessed by it in such a way that it wasn't a chore. It wasn't something to check off my list. It wasn't something I was always trying to get to, but it became something that was enjoyable and something that I couldn't wait to do. So the first one is very simply just to schedule it. This means to pick a time and a location and put it on the schedule and write it down in pen and make sure that it's there, that you planned for it. Oftentimes, a lot of our problems when it comes to doing the things that we think we ought to start doing and we never seem to get to it is because we don't actually schedule it into our calendars. We don't actually think about, okay, so when am I going to do this and where am I going to do this? Now, here's the problem when we don't do that. We keep a schedule filled. Our schedules are too busy as it is, and then we're trying to stuff it and cram it in at the last minute. it doesn't really work that way. In fact, all the important things in life really need to be planned for and deliberately chosen. So the best thing to do is to take a look at your life and see where the best time and place is to do this, and then to write it in and schedule the rest of your day around it. Now, for some people, that's going to be first thing in the morning before anybody gets up. I think that there are many, many moms out there who get up very early before the kids are up, and that's when they spend time with God. Or maybe your kids are in school, so for you it's not early. Maybe it's waiting until they've all had breakfast or on the bus, and then the house is quiet, and you have a chance to sit down. Or maybe you work a job, and so the only time you really have to yourself is your lunch hour, because you're dealing with kids in the morning, and then you're going to work, and then after work, you have kids to shuttle around to sports events and things like that. And so you're constantly moving, and the only real few moments you can pull out to yourself is your lunch break, or maybe it's well after the kids are in bed or your husband is watching the football game or something, and you have those few moments to yourself. Whatever works is probably going to be the best time for you, whatever happens to work. Everyone has their ideas on what this perfect time should be. I've said before, I so often hear over the years of growing up in church, I've heard pastors say, if you don't do it in the morning, it doesn't really count. Because later in the day, when you could have used God's word, you don't have it in your arsenal because you didn't read it that morning. And on the surface, that sounds good. But I honestly think that that's a little bit silly. God's word is relevant and true to your life, and you can read it at any time, and it will be a blessing to you, and you will accomplish the goal of spending time with God and hearing his heart and being able to share yours with him. And so it doesn't matter when, as long as that time works for you. Don't fall into the idea that you have to get up at 5:30 in the morning to have a quiet time. I have read several books where they have this, I don't know what it is about 5:30. It's almost like somewhere along the line, some Christian decided that it was 5:30 and we all bought into it. But the number of books I have on my bookshelf that talk about quiet time and reading God's word and prayer that talk about getting up at 5:30 is staggering to me. There is nothing especially holy about 5:30 in the morning, and it's no more special than 5:30 in the evening. If 5:30 in the evening is a good time for you, and it's a time when you can pull away from everyone and spend a few moments with God. Don't get caught up in that. That's very easy to do. People make things sound holy, but in truth, any moment with God is holy. And so finding a time and putting it on a schedule is what's important, and that time can be any time. I also think it's important when you schedule to pick a place, because you and I both know that some places are just not conducive to being quiet and still before God. And so sometimes you might have to go find a place. It's often said that Joanna Wesley, who was Charles Wesley's mom and had a lot of children, I forget how many, but it was way, way too many for any one woman, used to crawl under the kitchen table and throw her apron over her head to pray, because it was the only quiet space that she could find in a house full of young children. I think that you need to find that place where you can be quiet, and it might, you know, it might be under the table with an apron over your head. I don't even know if anyone even owns aprons anymore, but it could be a little crazy, or it could be something that just it just kind of works for you. Personally, I like to go to coffee shops. I like a little bit of noise. A little bit of background noise helps me concentrate. If it's too quiet, my mind actually wanders more. So I need something. Sometimes if I'm at home, I'll put some music on, but it has to be instrumental, because if it's words, I'll start paying attention to the music and not to what I'm doing. For me, I enjoy coffee shops. It's just an easy place to go, a great cup of coffee. There's something about study and coffee. There's a lot of study blogs out there where people give tips on studying, and they often in all the pictures show a cup of coffee sitting next to their notes, whether they're high school students or college students or grad students. It just seems like there's something about studying that the smell of coffee aids it. And I believe that as well. There's something a little bit magical about coffee, I think. So I liked coffee shops, the whir of the grinder, the steam from the espresso machine, all are just very soothing and help me concentrate. I also enjoy going outside. I don't like humidity. The area of the country that I live in can get very humid through the summer. So spring and fall are often when you'll see me outside, maybe outside at a park or a pond nearby my house, or sometimes just out of my patio in the back of my house. I do like to be outside. It's just such a nice thing to just hear the birds and feel the breeze and sit outside and talk to God. But also, you know, sometimes Saturday mornings, I like just curling up in bed and doing my quiet time from my bed. You can find a multitude of spots. The point is just to find those places where it's conducive for you to focus on God and put out the rest of the distractions around you. I don't recommend people doing this in their kitchen. Maybe you're a stronger person than I am. But there can be nothing in my kitchen that needs to be done if I'm going to have a quiet time at my kitchen table, because I am a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to that kind of stuff, and I'm a bit of a workaholic. And if I see that there somebody set a cup down and didn't put it in the dishwasher, and I notice it in the middle of prayer, it's going to be impossible for me to concentrate on my prayer. So I think, you know, getting away from, if that's something that bothers you, getting away from areas where there's work to be done, where there are things that could distract you and keep you from focusing on what's really important in that moment, I would say find a place that doesn't have those kinds of distractions. So that's the first point, is to schedule it, to find a time and a location that works for you. Get it on the schedule and schedule the rest of your day around it. I think you'll be surprised once you put it on the schedule and you commit to doing it. It's a lot easier to handle any last minute things that come along, because you're not trying to cram it last minute in the midst of an already busy and packed schedule. The second thing I would say after scheduling it is that we're going to plan it out. We're going to plan what we're going to do. Oftentimes, people will just sit down and open the Bible randomly and not really know what to do. We talked about in the first podcast in this series about getting a scripture reading plan or a study plan that you can follow. They're very helpful because it keeps you on track. You know each day what you're doing, and it gives you a little bit of a routine that you can fall into. You're picking up from the day before, and you're moving on to the next day. But in even more than just a reading plan, I would also think about what else you want to incorporate into your time. Some people like to start out with maybe some worship music, whether you want to sing or just listen to the lyrics. Some people like to start with a devotional book, maybe something that they're reading through each day that kind of just helps get their thoughts pulled in and centered a little bit. Others may want to start with prayer or their reading plan. Other people like to journal a little bit first to get their thoughts out on paper, all the things that they've been wrestling with and working over, and all of the angst of the day, so to speak, just kind of out of their mind so they can concentrate. There's a whole host of things that you can do during your quiet time. It helps, especially when you're getting started, to kind of figure out, like, I'm going to do this first, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And for some people, they'll even set a time limit or be more specific, like, I will listen to one song, and then I will pray for this thing, and then I will do this reading plan, and then I will write this prayer out, and on and on and on it goes. You do not have to be that structured. I think you probably should be as structured in your quiet time as you are in your real life. So if you're the kind of person that just enjoys being more spontaneous, then you certainly don't need to have a hard and fast plan. Those of you that like structure and order will feel more confident doing a quiet time when there's structure and order. The reason I say to make a plan is just because a lot of times if you're just kind of working through things lackadaisically and you're not really going in intentionally with this intent in your heart and this particular thing that you're doing, sometimes it's easy to put off because it doesn't feel concrete enough, like you're really accomplishing anything. And so having a plan is something that I feel helps people stick with it, and it keeps them coming back day after day. With that said, your plan, as I said earlier, can be as structured as you'd like it, but it also can be whatever you want it to be. I have varied that widely over the years. In fact, I vary widely sometimes from week to week, depending on what my weekly schedule is. And at this point, I think it's important that we spend a few minutes talking about time. I want to tell you, I say this to people all the time, and I feel like this is one of those areas where I talk and talk and talk, and no one really listens to me because I talk to somebody and I give them this little bit of advice, and a couple of weeks later, I'll check in on them, and they're struggling, and I find out that they disregarded my advice, and I say, if you would do this, I think you'd find we wouldn't be struggling. And sometimes it takes two or three conversations to get them on my side, and then a month or two will go by, and they'll say, you know, you were right. So I feel like I'm often just preaching to deaf ears with this one, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think it's important to mention. When it comes to time, you are far better off doing a smaller amount of time that you can sustain over time than you are starting out with a large chunk of time that you can't possibly maintain. What I mean by that is if you can give 15 minutes every single day, and you have the schedule that allows you to do that, and that's doable for you. That's a good amount of time for your attention span. It's a good amount of time for your family schedule. You can just pull aside those 15 minutes. You're better off doing that 15 minutes every single day than you are saying, I feel like Christians should spend an hour with God every day, and that's going to be tough, but I'm gonna do it because I believe God wants me to. And then you spend an hour the first day, and the second day you spend an hour and nothing gets done around your house and you're stressed out all day. And then the third day you just can't get to it because you're so far behind because of all the things that happened the day before. And then on the fourth day you realize you don't really want to do it today because you're 3 days behind now. And how are you going to catch up? And you have this whole hour ahead of you when there's all these things to be done. Doing something that doesn't fit you in a way that works with your personality and your attention span and the way that you do life is going to be discouraging to you, and you're going to stop doing it. I think God would rather have a consistent time with you that you can realistically keep and enjoy than actually trying these big gestures that don't ever get off the ground because they're more than you can really take on. I see this with people all the time with goal setting. They set goals that are just outlandish, and I know that you can't keep up with this for more than a week or two because the amount of willpower that it takes to do something so drastic and so big is more than we have as humans. Our willpower is exhausted. We can exhaust our willpower, and that's what we do when we take on more than we can do. I'm not saying that having a quiet time isn't hard work sometimes. I'm not saying that some days we have to push through and do it even when we don't feel like it. I'm not saying that it should always be easy. But what I am saying is that we should not make it unnecessarily complicated. And that's what we do sometimes when we put these unrealistic expectations. I have to get up at 5:30. I have to spend an hour. Just because someone wrote a great book on prayer and said it needs to be an hour does not make them an authority on prayer. It just means that that's what's worked for them. They've seen success and God has blessed it. And I think that God will give you success and bless you in your endeavors as long as you are doing something and that suits your lifestyle and suits your way of learning, and whether you're a night owl or a morning person or whether you can sit still for long periods of time and focus or not. You just need to determine those things for yourself. So that's what a plan does. A plan gives you something that's workable. You know what you're going to do, and you kind of can fit that in your schedule because you know this is how long it's going to take. And on the days when you have more time and you want to dig a little deeper into something, certainly feel free to take longer, but don't make that big thing the goal. Let that be something that is more of a happy accident on the days that you have time. The last tip that I have for you in scheduling and planning and crafting a quiet time is to share it. This is something that has been helpful to me. Much of my formative years of really learning to Bible study and to have a quiet time was very autonomous. I didn't really have other people in my life who were doing that regularly or faithfully or talking about it at all. My church would preach about it, but to actually hear about people doing it was very rare. And so for the longest time, I just learned and studied and kept a little notebook of everything God was teaching me, and I enjoyed it. But my consistency with it and my anticipation of doing that rose, and even the applications that I was taking from reading God's Word and studying it became better and more prevalent in my life when I began to share what God was teaching me with other people and hearing in turn about what they were reading and studying and what God was teaching them. And sometimes even just praying together about those things. I think we are not meant to do life alone. We are meant to live in community. I've done some podcasts on this. I've mentioned it before. We were created to do life with other believers because we need each other desperately. And I think this is an area where we ignore that to our own peril, because when the days are crazy and life is stressful and disappointments happen and it's hard to focus and we can't seem to pray, we can meet with someone else who will take those requests and pray for us. And they will also help us to see what's in God's Word, and they will share what they're seeing, and they will be able to encourage us with what God is teaching them. And just in that sharing back and forth, we grow stronger as believers because we're leaning on each other. You can do this in a small group if you have a small group at your church, or maybe you just have another friend who goes to your church or who is a believer, and you can get together once a week or once a month and talk about what God is doing in your life. Maybe if both of you are keeping a journal or a little quiet time notebook, you could bring them and share what you're seeing and how God is blessing you. I think that you'll find that that is one way that keeps you motivated to be spending time with God, is because someone else is being blessed by what you're learning and studying, and you have an opportunity to be blessed by what they're studying and learning. And by working together, you can really double the blessings that come your way from this time with God. I'd like to just briefly now talk for a few minutes about the kinds of things that you should probably put into your quiet time notebook if you're going to keep a journal or a notebook that will allow you to take notes on things. I think it's important because it gives us something tangible that we can see a record of what we've been learning and where God is moving us. It's often hard to see our own growth. And so one of the things that I feel like something like a quiet time notebook or a journal that kind of tracks what we're reading and studying and the prayers that we've had answered and those kinds of things. One of the things that I think is so helpful about that is because it allows us to see something that we might normally miss. And along the way, we're able to see that God is certainly active in our lives, that He's present. And in the midst of reading and study and prayer, God is doing a great work in us. And we can see that over time when we can look back at 2 or 3 months ago and see what we were learning and what we were studying and how our hearts have changed since then. You can, of course, do this lots of different ways. You can just get a little notebook and you can just divide, have a page for each thing, or you can use, oftentimes in my traveler's notebooks, I'll just use little stickers and kind of just say, this is what this section is, and I'll go and maybe I'm writing down some things that I've learned in a sermon that I heard that week, and I'll just put a little sticker and designate, you know, these are sermon notes and my thoughts on this sermon, and I'll put that on the sticker. And then when I move on to something else, I'll put another little sticker in there just to kind of show this is something different. But a way to be a little more organized is to use a 3-ring binder and actually have dividers and sections for each thing. I'm going to give you a list of sections that you might want to consider to put into any kind of a quiet time notebook or journal. The first section I think that would be good is a section called Knowing God. And this is something fun that I started doing a couple of years ago, is I would do a study. Let's say I was studying, I just finished 2 Corinthians. So let's say I was studying 2 Corinthians and I've been writing notes in my journal about what I've been learning and everything. And I would wrap up a study that I had finished by going back and looking for everything that I wrote down in my notes that told me who God was. What did I learn about God through that study? And I would just take a little page in my Knowing God tab and I would write down, the book of 2 Corinthians teaches me these things about God. And then I would write down each of the things that I learned over time. You can do this at the end of a study as a reflection kind of thing, or you can do it ongoing as you learn, as you hear something about God. Maybe you don't want to keep it separated by book or by study, but maybe you just want to keep a running list. And when you hear something in a sermon, or you hear something in a podcast, or you read something in a book, or you read something in a scripture, or you hear something in a song, you can just write those things down on that section. This is a great help for those times when we feel distant from God, and also when we're struggling with our faith, when it doesn't seem like God is really doing much. It's good to claim truth and say, well, these are the things that I know about God. I know these things are true. And we can go back and read those over. I find those very helpful. Often, sometimes those pages will, something on those pages will lead me to a great topic to study in further detail. Some of them have turned into Sunday school classes or Bible studies or even podcast topics. So having this list is something that will be very helpful for you, especially if you're in a position to teach and to be able to share God's word with others. Maybe you have a blog and this is something that you could pull from to write a blog about and encourage other people. So a good section to put in there is a section on knowing God and who God is. Another one would be a section of verses, and this would be verses that you might want to meditate on or memorize. Sometimes, you know, maybe you're meditating on something and you come across this really good verse and you think, oh man, that's the next one I need to meditate on. But then 3 weeks later, when you're ready for that next verse, you can't remember it. This is a good place just to write down really good verses, verses that speak to you. When I did my scripture writing list for August, that was on some of my favorite verses. These pages were where I pulled those verses from. I tend to not write references. I will write the entire verse out because I think writing out scripture is just a great discipline to do. But you could just put references down and put a little note next to that verse about why you wanted to draw attention to it. Maybe you find great verses that you'd like to send to friends and encourage them with. And that would be a good thing to keep a list of in that verses tab, you know, encouraging verses for when you need a little encouragement and for also for an opportunity for you to encourage someone else. Another section to put in there would be your Bible study, whatever you're currently studying and working on. This is where you could put your worksheets if you've been using any of the Bible Girl worksheets that we've done, or just plain paper that you can write things on as you're studying whatever method of God's Word, method of Bible study you're using to read the Bible. I think that that's a section that will fill up really quickly if you do a lot of studies and you're very regular about that. Just having those notes in one place where you can go back through them and read over them. These also are excellent for preparing lessons and podcasts and blog entries at a later time when you're ready to share a little bit about what God has shown you. I would include a couple sections on prayer. I generally divide mine up into intercessory prayer and personal prayer. In intercessory prayer, I tend to pray for the needs of people. This would not be my family and my best friends. I usually tend to include them in personal prayer, but intercessory prayer are our friends, people in my growth group, people in my church, people in my community. This would also be things that would be praying for our government and the country that we live in. I would pray for elected officials, certainly be praying for the upcoming election. This is interceding on behalf of something else. And so I kind of keep that separate. The reason I do that is because I do them very differently. Intercessory prayer is usually bulleted lists. So I would have, you know, this is just a list of people that are ill, and then I would list them in a bullet list. And on a different page, I would have, these are people that are going through a rough time and are grieving, or people that are experiencing a loss in their life, or these are people that need jobs, or this is what I'm praying for our country. And I would kind of have little bullet lists, and I would just pray through those bullet lists at specific times throughout the week. But the other section that I would have on prayer is personal prayer, and that I do more of a journal writing, and I talk about the things that are really on my heart for the people that I really am the closest to, the people that I spend the most time with. This would be my mom and my brother and his family. This would be my father and his family. It would be two of my closest friends, and I would just talk about, write out about what I'm concerned about for them and what they've asked me to pray for. I also, in these personal prayers, would pray for my own life, pray for the things I would like to see happen, pray for the sins I would like to conquer, and ask for God's help and His grace in living a more holy life for Him. This is where I would talk about the dreams of my heart, the things I'm afraid of, the things that I want God to know about in my own life. So I write them differently, and I divide them into two separate sections. Personal prayer, I would do daily. Intercessory prayer is more on a rotational thing. One day I'll pray for these sick people. The next day I'll pray for these people who need work. Mostly just because of time. There's only a certain amount of time a day I can do this. And so intercessory prayer is more bullet-driven, just praying aloud for those things. And on a rotational basis, personal prayer is something I do daily, and I write out like a journal. So I would have two sections for prayer. Another section I would have would be gratitude or thankfulness. I would write down the things that I'm thankful for, what I want God to know that I'm grateful for, what He's doing in my life and the lives of people around me, the goodness that He's shown me, in the things that He's given to me in my life. I would have a gratitude section. I would also have a section on answers. I would give a list of prayers that have been answered. I realized that this could kind of come under the gratitude section, and if you would prefer that, that's certainly fine. But the reason I separate them is because when I am discouraged in prayer, and it seems like the things I'm praying for are just not happening, and I wonder if God's listening, I like to be able to go back and say, well, God does listen because He answered these prayers. And these are the ways that He's worked in my life, and these are the ways He's worked in the lives of the people that I love. And this is how He's answered. And while certainly reading over a list of things I'm thankful for can be encouraging, there's something about just looking at a long sheet of paper that shows what God has been up to in my life. And I like having that as a separate section for that reason. Another thing that I would put in are two note pages. One of them would be just general notes, and I would use that for sermons, podcasts, conferences, things where I would take notes and then I'd want to hold on to them and refer to them later. This is often where I would just kind of compile notes from different speakers and pastors along the way, whether I heard them live or on a simulcast or something like that. And then another section I would have is book notes. And this is specifically spiritual books that I'm reading that I want to keep track of what I'm learning from those books. Sometimes there might be a great list that I think would be helpful to have, and I would write that out. Or other times a quote here or there or a summary of something that I learned. So I would have a tab in my notebook and my binder for book notes so that I would have those as well. So let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sections that I have had in the past in my binder. I have put on the Bible Girl Facebook page, there will be printables for all of these that you can print out. They're just very simple. It's just going to have the heading on it, and then it'll have some lines that you can write your own words on them. They'll be in just 8.5 by 11 size, and they'll be available for you. There will also be a link on the Facebook page where you can access older versions of stuff I've made in the past. I don't have the original editable files anymore. I just have a lot of PDFs of some older pages I've made. And I'm going to put a link to where you can access them if you'd like something maybe in a different color scheme or something maybe a little different than what I've mentioned here. They're not going to follow these 9 categories over the years. Kind of change the way I do things, so some of them won't have all of these and some will have other pages instead. But I'm just gonna, since I have all those PDFs, I'm just gonna put them in there for you to take a look at, and if you want to download and use any of them, you're welcome to do so. I'm also going to put the links to both of those, the new ones that I've made for this podcast, and the older folder. I'll put those links in the newsletter, so if you get my newsletter, they'll be in there as well. I want to encourage you to join our Facebook group, which is Bible Girl Podcast. If you look for that, you can join. I'll approve your membership. You can talk to each other if you have any questions. I'm going to put a fun little poll on there that will give you the opportunity to tell us what kind of time of day is the best for you to spend time in God's Word. I'm just kind of curious what people are thinking about that and if people have found a time that really works for them. So make sure you check that out. There's lots of links on there, and there's also a lot of stuff in the files that may be of help to you. The scripture writing plan for October is out. I hope that you're participating in that. And you can download those pages on the Facebook group as well as on the website of the podcast. One last thing I wanted to mention, I'm getting ready to head out for 6 weeks of sabbatical for my job. By the time you listen to this podcast, I will already have a week of sabbatical under my belt. I just wanted to let you know that I will not be podcasting while I'm gone. I had originally intended to do a podcast on prayer because I was interviewed about prayer from my pastor, and I was going to use the recording for that as a podcast. And unfortunately, the recording was corrupt, and there were some problems with it, so I wasn't allowed to able to use it. So I can't record a third podcast. I don't have enough time to do that before I leave town. So we're just going to hold that for another time. And I will not be recording while I'm away. So we're going to pick back up again the second Monday in November. The November scripture lists are ready, and they'll be released in the later part of October. So you'll still be able to keep up with your scripture writing, even though I won't be podcasting for about a month. I hope to see you back when I come back in November. I pray that God blesses you. During the month off, I would encourage you to download some of these printables from this series and give some new method of Bible study a try. You never know what might strike you. You'll never know what will really work with you until you give it a try. Or maybe you can set up a quiet time notebook and start tracking what God is doing in your life. I hope God blesses you, and I'll be back with you in a few weeks. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, listen to past episodes, sign up for my newsletter, or download show notes and scripture writing plans. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to download Bible study worksheets and get the latest podcast news. You can also talk with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's Jessie, J-E-S-S-I, L. Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.